Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Well, a rough one for the Edmonton Oilers tonight in Calgary. Flames get four goals in the second period to win it 5-0. Jacob Markstrom makes a 17-save shutout, so the Oilers' record on the season drops to 25-15-2. They're 5-3 against the Flames. Courtesy Mattress Superstore, give them 5 minutes, and they'll give you the best sleep of your life. Take the Sleepology body scan and take the guesswork out of buying a mattress. Here's head coach Dave Tippett.
Dave, you've been around hockey a long time. Do you have any comparable in your career for the kind of day your players went through today?
No, it is what it is. I was hoping we'd have some energy tonight, but caught up with us. They had energy and we didn't.
Yeah, how much of the sort of flat effort that you got was because of all the hockey you played, all of it on the road, all the travel, all the schedule changes, and of course the memorial this morning? How much did that have an effect?
I mean, I don't know. You hope your team pushes to new levels and finds ways to push through things, but and you can never use excuses. But there's times when you can tell your team's just doesn't have it, and there's not enough energy in the group. And tonight was one of those times.
Mm-hmm. Is it time for a break? You got a little bit of a break here. Is it a good time for your team to get a little break here?
Yeah, everybody's out for 2 days. We'll give everybody come back. It'll give us a couple days to get ready. And we got 14 games left. We've got to continue to push and improve our game. And, this game tonight, we'll, as the old saying, we'll burn that tape or whatever and show up on Tuesday and have a couple of good practices. And now we go into another back-to-back next weekend. But we talked about it after the game. We got 14 games to continue to improve our team, earn a playoff spot. And then if you can earn a playoff spot, you got to be ready to play in there. So that's our goal here.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Rob Chosky, Post Media.
Hey, Dave, you've got a really weird stretch here where you get 5-6 days off, then you play 4-6, then you get 5-6 days off, then you play another 4-6 coming up. How do you think your guys have kind of wrestled through that whole scenario?
There's some up and downs, but the one thing you hope is your team continues to grow, and some of that adversity is good for us. Some of it you see parts of it that your team pushes through, and then you see tonight where we didn't push through it very well. So there's lots of growth left to go in our game. So it's, I think everybody has, the adversity is good for you at points, but it's how you deal with it and how you come out of it that matters. And we've had a few spots like that, and it's a weird year. Like, there's no doubt about it. There's between playing one division and games getting canceled and thrown back in, and it's different. But you have to embrace that, and you have to make sure you're up for the challenge. And whatever that challenge is, you gotta hit it face on. And we've done it pretty well for the most part. There's been a couple games where we've been, we just weren't good enough on a certain night, but hopefully we continue to take those games out of our game and we get better this last little stretch and earn a playoff spot and then play well there and see where it goes.
So this is your last big deep breath before the stretch drive. I know coaches are never happy, but how happy are you with where you guys are at right now?
Well, I think we've come, if you look at our year, there's it's been pretty steady climb all the way through. We started out a little slow, but then it's been a pretty steady climb. Like I say, there's been a couple games here or there where we feel like we just didn't have the energy in the game. But for the most part, we continue to build. And now this last stretch is a critical stretch because there's parts of our game that still need to improve. And we're going to have to put the work in to do that. we can become a better team than we are right now, but that's going to, it's going to take some work on our players' part. And we've got a good group that's willing to do that. And, you know, this break will help us mentally, physically, but then we got to get to work and embrace the challenge ahead of us.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, that's Oilers head coach Dave Tippett. Pretty flat performance tonight. 5-0, Calgary wins it. They got four goals in the second period. Monahan, Goudreau, Lindholm, and Giordano. Richie got one in the third period. Along with Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. It's 11:07. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. Well, Rob, you know, Bob played the clip from McDavid. Tip talked about it a little bit as well. They did have the celebration of life for Colby Cave today. They didn't have a morning skate. They were all able to watch that online as I did, and I'm sure a lot of people listening did today as well. So, look, it was just a tough day and a really bad game from Edmonton. They didn't have a lot going.
No, it was a team that looked absolutely drained of energy, and it happens over the course of the season in the best of times, and it certainly happens over the course of this year where you're playing a very condensed schedule. The travel has been different. They've had to rejuggle the schedule at times. You throw in the Memorial this morning. It's been a tough week, a tough stretch, and it caught up to the Oilers tonight. I don't think it was through lack of try. I think it was just through an absolute lack of energy, and the energy goes in your legs and your hands and your mind, and when you don't have it, it's noticeable. And the team, the Calgary Flames, they're playing for pride tonight, and they were a rested team. They had a coach that I'm sure pushed a lot of things into them this week where they said, all right, this is what we need to see. There's a lot of guys playing the last stretch of games to see where they're going to be next year, where they're part of the Calgary Flames organization. And it's they played a much stronger game, and players that you hadn't noticed in a number of games this year, the Goudreaus, the Monahans, they were remarkably better tonight. So it was a tough game, tough stretch. And tonight, the better team won, and the more rested team certainly won.
All right, so 5-0 is the final. You can get us on the CertainTeed hotline, 780-496-0063. CertainTeed, professional-grade building materials. We're also counting down to the NHL trade deadline, which is at 1 o'clock Mountain Time on Monday. Stauffer's going to host our special coverage on 630 CHED starting at 11. We'll extend the coverage one way or the other, or both, if the Oilers do anything significant, which we do not expect. Now, we don't get to really watch the intermissions on television, Rob, since we are doing our own stuff here on the radio. Apparently, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet said that the Oilers are looking for a defenseman via trade. He mentioned Michael Delzato could make sense, who I checked. He only makes $700K. He's a left shot D. They could acquire a really cheap contract because you could, you know, bury somebody else or maybe move somebody out. Basically, if you're doing that, you're saying that you have more trust in whoever you would bring in on the left side than Jones or Lagesson at this point, because Nurse is cemented there. You know what you're going to get from Russell. So to me, if you're adding somebody in the mold of Delzato, you're saying, okay, here's someone we trust more than a couple of the younger players we have and who doesn't make a ton of money.
Now, is Delzato's, his contract expiring at the end of the year too?
He is. I believe he is. I had it open here. You know, I have a lot of tabs open, Rob. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's just on a one-year deal. So, $700K.
I honestly, I don't know enough about him. I know that obviously his career has not gone where they expected it to. When he's playing for that much money this year, then obviously he's I don't know if he's a good fit or if he's going to make the team better or if the others are even interested. I do know that they would love to add a few things, a second pairing left-handed defenseman they would love to put in there. They would love to have a second-line left winger and a centerman that can win faceoffs and play in your bottom six as right-handed. But to be able to get them, I don't know if Ken Holland has enough magic in his hat to be able to pull those things out, but I guess that's why we have a trade deadline, to see if it can happen. There's always rumors. I mean, last week we were talking about Taylor Hall coming here. I read that a bunch of places.
Well, we're still going to be, Rob, because of something else I read. But but here's the thing. It's general manager's job to look into anything. So, yeah. Ken Holland has probably asked about dozens of players and been asked about almost everybody on his roster. Just because someone makes a phone call or sends a text doesn't mean it's happening. I remember Kelly Rudy, who's on my show every week, told me a great story a few years ago that there was one day I don't know if he missed a practice or was a little banged up, and he wound up sitting with the general manager of the team during the practice. And he was a little older in his career at this point. And they were watching the practice and they got talking about trades and running a team. And the GM was, a little more comfortable talking to Kelly because Kelly was an older player at this point. And Kelly said, well, let's see who on our team. And he listed off 7 or 8 guys that he said, there's no way you would ever trade these guys to the GM. And the GM looked at Kelly and said, Kelly, there is nobody on this team that is untradeable. I will always listen. I will always listen if another GM calls and starts making an offer that interests me enough. Now, I think there's a couple Oilers and some other guys around the league.
Yeah, having
probably
said that,
wouldn't fall into that category. But
having said that, Wayne Gretzky got traded. Paul Coffey got traded.
Money was a big part of that.
No, yeah, but Gretzky. You can't say that nobody is untouchable when all those greats have. Any player has a price on what you could get for him that would make it worth your while. Any player. Now, I don't know if it's ever going to happen with certain players, but yeah, you would absolutely listen to anyone. If someone say, hey, we want McDavid, this is what we're going to give you. I mean, you could find out people in other cities and say, okay, we can make a trade for you and make something that it looked like it would work. So any player is available at the right price, but the right price for some players would be pretty significant, and I'm not sure anyone has that.
All right, so the Oilers shut out tonight, but whenever they do score, it's a $100 donation to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous, courtesy James H. Brown and Associates, Serious Injury Lawyers. The total for the season with the Fill the Net promotion, $13,400. We thank James H. Brown for being involved in that. I'll tell you what, if you have trade proposals tonight, and I know it's late on a Saturday after kind of a bad game for Edmonton, I'm going to ask that you call in, because it's really easy to pick up your cell phone and type something to me. So I'm going to ask you to call. Put your voice to it. Put your name to it. And then we can go from there. Sound fair, Rob? Because I'm not going to read like the dozens of trade proposals that are going to be texted in. And I know some of them. People just do it to troll us too, because you or I are always a fan of some of the proposals we get. We are a fan of this guy, though. It's Saturday night. It's JP on the Certainty Hotline. Go ahead, JP.
Hello, Rob. Hello, Rhea. How are you guys tonight?
Good.
Because you sound fantastic tonight, you guys. I have a trade proposal. Not so much a trade proposal. I out of retirement proposal. I want the Rob Brown to bust off this game, get back in the mix. Are you telling me right now Rob Brown wouldn't score 50 with Connor? I mean, repeat city with the Connor, Mario, similar in my mind.
Those players, similar. I'm not similar to the player I used to be. That's the problem.
Rob, you're still a gem in my mind, and I have not had your autograph yet. I went to pick up my prize the other day. I thought to myself, well, maybe he is going to sneak an autograph.
What if they just won't let me in the building?
I peeled out of that damn parking lot so angry. I picked up a ticket for flying 75 and a 50. But you know what? Let's get down brass tacks, you guys. Let's get down the brass tacks, shall we? No more fooling around. This is cool. Oh, give me a trade proposal. I got a proposal. I don't know. Do you care for Jack Eichel? Cut the garbage. Just cut the garbage. Let's not get down to this. Let's get down to brass tacks, you guys. Zach Gass, I am a huge fan of the Gass. Huge fan of this guy. But he has been like Lurch out there. He's just like a bush. Barely move. He has been absolutely silent Sam. I need some passion back in this guy's game. I need a little passion. I want him on the front line. I might move to JP. My God. I almost puked just now saying my name. But let me tell you right now, you guys, Zach Cassian is the difference. He's going to be a difference maker when it comes to the playoff time. Zach Cassian needs to wake up a bit. Come on, Cassian, I know you're listening right now. I'm yelling my voice. I apologize. Zach, come on. Wake up a little bit. Reed, love it. I'm done. I've had enough to drink tonight. Rob, please, for the love of God, please, can I get the autograph eventually here soon, please?
Eventually, we will get it to you, JP. I have no doubt about that. Thank you very much for calling. That is a very passionate JP. Now, just to clarify, is your name actually D. Rob Brown? Or that's just what he called you.
In Quebec. I'm D. Rob Brown in Quebec.
Yes.
Good point there. I mean, he brought up Cassian. And I got buddies that are watching the game too. And I get one of them sent me, Marp sent me a thing. Battle of Alberta, zero hits again for Cassian. Zero hits, zero blocks. It's a quiet sheet for him. And they need, and I know there's been a lot written about him. They've talked about Dave Tippett was trying to get him going and the importance. And I admit the importance of Cassian, how he can change the complexion of a hockey game through physicality, through emotion, through intensity, through intimidation. And we haven't seen that in a while. And again, tonight, this is a game the Oilers needed a jolt. They lacked energy. And when you're an energy player, that's when you come in. And he's supposed to be an energy player. And tonight, again, zero hits. And that's, they need more out of Zach Cassian. The Oilers team needs the Cassian that we've seen in the past. And it's been a while since he's played that way.
Yeah, good point. That's the adjustment of the game we're looking for Alberta's chiropractors. If it hurts, see a chiropractor. Visit albertachiro.com/hockey. Okay, you're going to hear from Darnell Nurse.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We'll look ahead to the trade deadline as well. Oilers fall 5-0 in Calgary. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Well, nothing doing tonight for the Oilers. They lose 5-0 to the Calgary Flames. Now, whenever the Oilers score five or more in a game, we turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. It would allow you to print up a coupon for a free appetizer to Japanese Village. Complete details at jvedmonton.ca. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown, 21 minutes. Sorry, the Rob Brown, 21 minutes after 11. It is your birthday, Rob. You seriously have not thought about coming out of retirement.
I've been on the ice a lot lately. And when I'm going against my grade fours, grade fives, I'm pretty good. Grade sixes, they start to speed up on me. The junior high kids, I'm about an even player. Start playing the high school kids, it gets a little too quick for me. So, yep, no, absolutely not. I'm not good enough for beer league hockey nowadays. I am good for standing and cheering on the kids on the ice. That's what I'm good for.
Well, you're bringing along the next generation of hockey. And you were mentioning a couple of weeks ago, you worked with the Oil Kings, Dylan Gunther, who's going to be, well, he might go first overall. I mean, we don't know. He's going to go very high.
He is good. I had him when he was in Bantam at the NAX Hockey Academy. And I had not seen a kid that could shoot the puck like he could, that could get it off as quickly. Effortlessly. It was on and off his stick. Didn't look like he was even trying, but he picked his spot every time. There's two things that I look at when I look at young players, attitude and work ethic. He is a great kid that works hard, very coachable. There's going to be success in his future, even more than he's already had. He is a good hockey player.
All right. The Certainty Hotline, 780-496-0063. Andy is on the line. Andy, go ahead, man.
Hello.
Hey, Andy, go ahead. Do we have Andy? We may not. Okay, that's okay. We'll see if we can reconnect. We will try Don on line two. Don, you're on with Rob and Reed. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, love the show. So, Rob, how old are we now?
I am celebrating the 13th anniversary of my 40th birthday.
Oh, you're still a pup.
Yeah. Every morning I wake up, I do not feel like a pup.
Yeah, okay. All righty. But anyway, but geez, what a tough game for the Oilers tonight. It just seemed like nothing could go wrong, but or could go right, I should say. But you guys kind of stole a bit of my thunder on Zach. Just wondering, though, I don't recall seeing him in the third period. Was he benched?
I didn't notice if he was. I doubt that he was. I just think that they would have tried to have everybody playing because of the fact that they were out of the game and there's no reason to overextend. I'm just about to look at his ice time to see what he played.
He played 13:45, which doesn't indicate. I thought I saw him out there a couple times, though it wasn't an overly interesting third period, obviously.
Yeah, no. But, that also shows you if you think.
Oh, no, sorry. No, he played 10:54. He only played 10:54, so he could have been cut down a bit. Yeah.
I don't recall seeing him in the third period.
He would have played at some point in the third, because he wouldn't have played that much in the first two, I don't think. That's a lot of ice time, 5.5 minutes per period for a guy that doesn't play power play or penalty killing. I'm sure he was out there, but it was quiet when he was out there. You didn't notice him. And when you play the role that he plays, he's a guy that should be noticed. So they need more out of Zach Cassian. He's got more to give. That's the biggest thing. They know what his ceiling is. He's nowhere near his ceiling right now.
But here's a question for you. Do you think he's been the same player since he signed his new contract?
No, not really. No, and that was around the same time as he got, wasn't it around the same time he got the two suspensions last year too? Because he got suspended for Kachuk got suspended for the kicking in Tampa Bay.
Yep, I think it was right around the same time.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, and he's had, I'm not trying to make excuses or anything, you know, for why he plays. Like, I love Zach, but it just seems like since that contract and, you know, he's had a baby and all that stuff, he just doesn't seem like the same player. He doesn't have, you look him at him on the bench and he's, you know, he doesn't have that drive in his eyes and, you know, in his face. Like, he's definitely not the same guy, that's for sure.
No, that's a good point. He's a guy that usually when you see him, he's got anger in his eyes. That's when he's playing his best. When he was intimidating, he'd be a guy that if I played against him and we're at a face-off, okay, you're looking to see where he is, because he's a guy that you're like, okay, I'm a little wary of what that guy is. Sometimes he crosses the line. I want to make sure I know where he is at all times. We haven't seen that part of his game for quite a while.
Yeah, he's got to be, I think we've used this phrase before, you want him to be a noisy player, because he's not, you know, even though he has scored a bit in the past, he's not going to score a ton of goals, right? So you need him to be a noisy player, a hit, some intimidation, some blocked shots, or just some speed. And yeah, I think it's been too long since we've seen that consistently. And that's the type of thing that helps in the playoffs, because you need every shift to matter and every little moment to possibly swing the tide of a game or a series. Let's check the Other Town scoreboard for Edmonton Trailer. Looking for parts, service, rentals, or new and used semi-trailers, head to EdmontonTrailer.com. Two other games in the North. Jets all over the Canadiens, 5-0 in that one. And the Maple Leafs get by the Senators 6-5. Austin Matthews had a hat trick. Lightning shut out the Predators 3-0. The Wild lose in overtime to the Blues 3-2. The Kings double up the Sharks 4-2. Blackhawks get by Columbus 4-3. Red Wings win in a shootout 5-4 against the Hurricanes. Flyers over the Bruins 3-2. Stars beat the Panthers 4-1. The Oilers farm team, Bakersfield Condors, 4-1 winners over the San Jose Barracuda. Another win in goal there. I believe Skinner was the goalie. The stats page has...
Bob said Skinner was the goalie.
Skinner did win, yeah.
Yeah.
And golf, Hideki Matsuyama leads the Masters by 4 strokes over 4 golfers. Canadian Corey Connors is 5 shots off the lead. Raptors beat the Cavs 135-115. Blue Jays beat the Angels 15-1. They led 10-0 after the third inning.
Yeah, that's a good start. When you're the starting pitcher, you like that.
And that game just ended a little while ago because it was rain delayed. So they were playing late into the evening there, into the morning even, I guess. 5-0, Flames take down the Oilers tonight. Not a lot going on for Edmonton this evening. 780-496-0063. We have Rocket on the line. Hey, Rocket, go ahead.
Hey, happy birthday, Rob.
Thank you very much.
I got to tell you, it was exactly, you know, I think the game tonight was exactly, you know, what everybody's been saying. It was just too much. Like, there was just too much going on and too much emotion. And I liked Connor's press conference because he's always very honest about these things. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, discount anything that he ever says. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was the trades. I'll be the guy that discusses it because no one else has yet. I really think there is a chance for Taylor Hall to come to Edmonton. And I think that the Oilers, in terms of depth defensemen go, they can do that internally. Not so much at Delzato, but if Taylor Hall's price tag keeps coming down and down and down, if you remember before Dreisaitl and McDavid, it was Hall and Hopkins. You know, so those two always played together. And that, you know, there's a lot of things said about Taylor Hall. But, you know, this could be like a resurrection for him for and a chance for Edmonton to acquire like a Peter Klima type guy that scored the game winner in Boston in 90.
The thing is, the Oilers would love to have Taylor Hall, as a lot of teams would. I just don't know where you can find the money to do it. Because the Oilers have no money in their salary cap. And Taylor Hall's an $8 million cap hit.
That's really the challenge. Ken Holland said, and I guess another thing Chris Johnston said on the intermission was that if the price keeps coming down on Hall, which it might be a little bit here, that the Oilers would be interested, as would any other team who might have not been willing to pay the higher price. It is worth discussing. You know, Ken Holland said he would not trade the first round pick for a rental. And the Oilers don't have a lot of picks this year because other ones have already been traded away. So, all right, so if it switches to a second-round pick, well, the Oilers don't have that, at least this year. I mean, they'd have to give stuff up down the road. And then you have, as you said, Rob, you have to, if you want Buffalo to retain, then you got to give up more. I mean, I saw, you know, I was looking at some stuff on Twitter today. Say, well, get Buffalo to take Neil's contract. Okay, that opens up a ton of money. And then you're giving up more for Buffalo of doing you that favor of taking James Neal. Now, look, it's never impossible. I just think it's complex, and there are other teams that can come up with better offers. I mean, John Shannon talked about Boston probably being the favorite right now, especially since New Jersey, or pardon me, the Islanders already made their deal with New Jersey. So that's how I look at it. I mean, you know, Stoff was talking about probably a smaller deal. Maybe you could get someone to help with faceoffs. So that's still kind of how I feel about Hall. I mean, if the price does come down, again, it's Ken Holland's job to go ask and say, okay, well, you know, you wanted this a week ago. Now you seem to be taking less. So how about this? But I don't know. I don't consider the Oilers a favorite to land him.
No. And you're also wondering what you're getting in Taylor Hall. I mean, it is shocking. He didn't have a good year in Arizona last year. And he's having an absolutely atrocious season in Buffalo this year.
To be fair, it's a really poor team. Honestly.
But look at the rest of the players. They're having better years than him. Like he's got 2 goals on the season in 36 games. That's a horrible year. This is a former Hart winner. I mean, go through the Buffalo Sabres lineup. There's players that I've never heard of that got better stats than Taylor Hall. And Taylor Hall did not have a good year in Arizona last year. And the year before in Jersey, he's been trending the wrong direction. Now, maybe he needs a resurrection. Maybe coming back to Edmonton, maybe he can find it again. But when you're getting Taylor, I saw that people are saying that Palomari was a better buy than Taylor Hall, which a year ago would have been shocking for anyone to say. Now, I haven't seen Taylor Hall play this year at all, but I did hear when you had the Buffalo guy on the other day, I think it was a newspaper dude that said Harrington. He said that Taylor Hall, he can't score. He doesn't have good hands. And for an Edmonton fan to hear that, and for someone like you and I that have watched what Taylor Hall did when he was here, he was a force. for them to say that that's what he's like now as a hockey player. So I'm
I don't think he said that Taylor Hall has bad hands. I think he said that the pucks aren't going in for him, that he's not able to finish.
Well, he has no finish. To me, as a hockey player, that means you got bad hands if you got no finish. Like they said he's had more breakaways than any other player in the NHL since the beginning of last year and has zero goals. Again, that shocked me when I heard that stat as well.
I think it's more interesting to consider Taylor Hall being a free agent in the summer, quite frankly, because maybe he's going to have to do what Tyson Barry did. Go somewhere,
bet on himself.
And to me, that's a much more interesting discussion on the Oilers being in on something like that. Just food for thought, as opposed to something happening between now and one on Monday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Corey, we'll get to you in a couple of minutes. We got to call a quick timeout. Oilers lose 5-0 to the Flames. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Hey, appreciate you tuning in. So the Oilers' schedule has been adjusted. The most immediate thing you need to know, and there are games a little bit later on that have had some tweaks, but you can obviously get that by checking the Oilers' schedule online or the NHL PR account. I retweeted that if you follow me. But Friday, they're in Vancouver. That's the next game. It's going to be a 5:30 faceoff show, and the game will start at 7. They'll be looking to do much better than they did tonight. 5-0. Calgary wins this one. Corey is on the CertainTeed hotline. Corey, you're on with Rob and Reed. Go ahead, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And Rob, happy 40th birthday again.
Thank you.
you guys wanted me to call in or wanted us to call in with a couple trade ideas, so I'll throw a couple of your way and then I'll leave it to you. The one I was thinking of personally, if possible, was maybe someone like Hoffman for a second round pick in 2022. In terms of Taylor Hall, the only way it could get done is maybe the 11th hour when no one else offers a first round pick, then you can offer him, say, a first round pick, Neil and Samarukov. And you guys were talking about anyone can get traded, so I thought I'd give you a Connor McDavid trade to make things fun. Connor McDavid for Kucherov, Hedman, and a first.
Oh, wow. That would be a headline. What a trade that would be.
That would be a trade. Wow.
Yeah. The money would probably work in that one just off the top of my head. That'd be amazing. Hoffman makes $4 million. He's a UFA in the offseason as well. Oh, that was a good call. Corey did exactly what we asked. Corey has completed the assignment, Rob, and he's the fourth star tonight. How about that? He is the fourth star for Mr. Mike's Steakhouse Casual, your hockey destination. Make your reservation at mrmikes.ca. You were not, because your best known trade was the Scott Young one. That was not at the deadline.
No, I was traded right before Christmas one year, and then I was traded again in January of another year. The year I got traded in January, I got traded to the Blackhawks, and we went to the Stanley Cup Finals that year. So that one was a fun one. I got to play with Mike Keenan and got to learn a lot.
Well, then you guys played the Penguins, right?
We played the Penguins, played the Penguins in the finals. We didn't do as well. But
in the finals. You went further than the other 19 teams.
That's true. One of my coolest experiences, we played Edmonton in the semifinals that year and beat Edmonton. Right. So I got to come home and play in the semifinals against my hometown team in front of all my friends and family. So it was pretty cool. One last thing about Taylor Hall. This is the kind of year that Taylor Hall's having. He's on the same team as Tobias Reeder. Reeder's got 5 goals on the season. Taylor Hall has 2. Taylor Hall is 14th on the Buffalo Sabres for goals this year. 14th.
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't think he's done as a goal scorer.
No, but 14th. He's on a bad team. There's 14 other players on his team that have more goals than him.
I think Curtis Lazar isn't Lazar up to 5?
Yeah, Curtis Lazar's got 5 goals as well. And I was going to name a couple other guys, but I had no idea who they were. There's some guys I've never heard of on the Buffalo Sabres. I feel for that team. That is a bad.
Well, it's just a miserable year. I mean, 18 games without a.
Oh, well, you know, it's really interesting. I listened to your interview with that gentleman the other day, and what he talked about when he talked about Ralph Kruger, how he didn't seem all there when he came back from COVID, and how they talked about some of his press interviews that they left there shaking their heads like a lot of that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
I was astounded by some of those comments. I thought it was a great interview, and I learned a lot. But some of those things he said, and I'm like, holy smokes. Some of the things that you don't think about when COVID affects a person and a team.
All right, we have Darren on the line as well, who's also going to finish the play. But first, Darren wants to talk. Well, I don't know if he wants to talk hockey, actually. He may have a birthday idea for Rob. But go ahead, Darren.
I don't have that. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
All right. I didn't know if I was coming through, but well, happy birthday, Rob. What's up, man?
Thank you very much, buddy.
I just want to get down to it, man. That's what you guys are talking trades and everything. Like, hey, Torts, forget the reports. Bring Nick Foligno. Yo, bring Nick Foligno here, man. That guy would be perfect in this city. You know what I mean? Like, a guy would be great as far as I'm concerned. I'm getting hyped up here. I apologize, but
it's okay.
You guys are talking trades. You guys brought it on. Bring Nick Foligno. Bring him here.
Why?
His name's out there. Yep.
Yeah, and they said that there was a first-round pick is what, I mean, again, just rumors, but that's what they're talking about. To get a Foligno, they'd want something like a first-round pick. And I know nothing about his contract, if it's expiring, what it's worth. I can tell you any team that got a Foligno, he would certainly help. Absolutely. He's a heart and soul guy. That would hurt. Well, he'll help any team he goes to. And I have no idea if the Oilers could ever attain a player like him, but he would help a team wherever he goes.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd give up. Are you a Foligno fan specifically, Darren, or just in the context of getting him for the rest of the five and a half cap
hit? I just want to win. That guy will bring some winning to this city. That's what we need. Foligno.
Well, he is certainly a type of player that would help your team. He brings something that I think the Oilers could desperately need in the you get him as a third line center or whatever. I don't know if it's possible, but it'd be nice to. That's the one thing that, as a fan, the night before trade deadline, you go to sleep thinking about all the players that you might get the next day. Unfortunately, never always works out that way.
Okay, Darren, you're going to finish the play. You already have a sampler box from Hungry Herd. Top quality meats delivered right to your door at everyday low prices. Alberta owned and operated. Angie, what do you have?
At the point, McDavid with a steal, a drop off, Archibald to the net, wrist shot. What a save made by Markstrom. I don't even know how he got it. Through traffic, kicked out a left skate. It looked like the whole right side of the net was open.
Well, it might have been the Oilers' best scoring chance. Darren, what period was it in?
Oh, man.
I'll give you a hint. It wasn't the third.
Was it the first? I don't know.
It was, my friend. Your name's going into the grand prize draw for a $1,000 gift certificate to Visions Electronics. That's courtesy PF Custom Countertops. Support local with a PF renovation. Get started at pfcustomcountertops.com. Darren, stay on the line. Angie's going to put your name in the big drum for the grand prize draw. Darren's got a lot of energy.
He does. We need him. Get him on the bench. He'll get the team going.
Like, nothing against Nick Foligno, but I've never heard anybody that excited to talk about Nick Foligno.
Maybe his mother? I don't know. But yeah, actually, I don't know if we've ever heard his name on our telecast ever before.
Well, when they would play against him in Columbus or Ottawa.
Maybe, but you and I have never talked about him.
That's the most you and I have ever talked about Nick Foligno.
And now we should bring him up every game because we'd have that dude keep calling us back. He gets me pumped. I'm Jack now.
What was the... what was the dad? Tom? I can't.
No. Mike Foligno. Mike Foligno. He's the guy that used to jump every time he scored.
Right. So you would have played against him.
I did. Oh, God, yeah. He's a little older than me, but yeah, I played against him.
And didn't he kind of have like the distinctive, like one of those really round helmets or something? Yep. I don't know.
Yeah, he did. And every time he scored, he jumped. It was pretty cool. No, he was one of those guys that was, he could score and was tough. So he was.
Yeah, I'm just looking up his stats now. Yeah, 85-86, 41 goals, 168 penalty minutes, 87-88, 57 points, 220 penalty minutes.
Yep. No, he was. He was
belligerent
hockey player. Yeah. You never made fun of him for jumping up and down after he scored because he'd score on you, then he'd beat you up. So, but no, he was a good hockey player. When did he retire?
93-94. He finished with 39 games with the Florida Panthers. I do not remember him as a Panther. But he went Detroit, long stint with Buffalo, few years, 3 years plus a bit with the Leafs, and then, yeah, like half a season with the Panthers, which I do not remember.
But it's funny, like, you'll talk about old Oilers, and whether it's Grant Fuhr or Anderson or Coffey, and you'll say, well, his stint when he was with St. Louis or his stint when he was with Detroit, I'm like, really? And it's amazing when they are no longer part of your team and it's at the end of their careers, you don't remember them as much. You focus out of those ones. But yeah, I don't remember Foligno ever being in Florida. I did play against him for 5 years, though, after you said his stats. He was good.
Oilers lose 5-0 to the Flames. Let's go back to Calgary, courtesy Mattress Superstore. Here's defenseman Darnell Nurse.
Yeah, Darnell, can you just tell us, I'm sure that you watched the Colby Key Memorial this morning. Where did you watch it? Did you watch it with guys? And what effect does that have on your team's performance tonight?
There's a big group of us watched it at the hotel together. And it was an emotional day. And it's no excuse. I think it was one of those things that we wanted to kind of build off of and have a night for Colby, and we didn't. But yeah, we all watched it together. It's tough when you see someone that meant that much to, I mean, all the guys in the organization, not just the Oilers, but Baco too, and everybody played. So yeah, it was tough. But you can't look at that and make an excuse. I think, you know, for us, we wanted to have a good night for Caver, and we didn't. But you know, he's going to live on in our memories and, use that, use the kind of guy he was as motivation.
I would say that I don't know if it's an excuse or if it's a reason, Darnell. That's a pretty tall order to watch a funeral in the morning for a teammate. A guy your age is such an emotional thing that we all watched and come out and play hockey at night. Do you have any comparables in your career playing hockey? Have you ever tried to do something like this before?
No, I haven't. Personally, I haven't been through something like that. Like you said, you watched the ceremony this morning and play at night. I've never done that before, so that was tough for sure, but we got to show up a little better tonight.
Thank you.
From Kachowski Post Media.
So how does a person just try to switch gears like that from such a gut-wrenching morning to just a few hours later having to, you know, play in a battle of Alberta? How do you get, and what do you do to get through that?
Just try to focus at the task at hand when you get to the rink. Like I said, you watch something like that emotional in the morning and then in the afternoon. It's tough. It's definitely tough. But I don't know if I feel bad for, you know, Em and Caver's family, and you know, they're so strong during the celebration of life, and I think everyone is in the same boat when they say, you know, we're there for them, whatever they need. It was a tougher day for them, I think.
Tip said you're going to get a couple of days off and then five days before your next game. Is coming a good time right now just to kind of shut everything down, clear everything out for a bit?
Yeah, it's a good opportunity to reset, take a couple of days away from the rink, get our minds away from hockey for a few days, back to, my loved ones and whatnot. Reset. It's a point in the calendar I think we all saw coming the last few weeks. It's not like it's something that was just sprung on us. So I think we need to use this to our advantage to kind of regroup. And then we have a huge 14 games left when we get back. So we need to put ourselves in a position coming out of this break to make the most of the rest of the schedule.
It's been really weird. Like you 5 days off, 4-6, 5 days off, 4-6. Credit to you guys for kind of grinding through it. But what's the, first off, the state of the union, you know, how do you see your team poised at this position right now? And where are you guys at physically and mentally?
Yeah, obviously it's tough. I think it's if you look at the schedule and see it coming, I think there's a better, you know, better understanding of what you're going to do, better way to plan out the week, like this one coming up. But going a couple weeks ago, you know, when you're sprung, when it's kind of sprung on you and you're in the hotel for 6 days, a little bit different. So, I mean, for us, I think we're in a good position here late in the season where we have 14 games left and we're playing meaningful hockey. I think if we came into the season and said we'd be in this position this late in the season, I think we'd all be happy but not satisfied with the spot that we're in, and you know, highly motivated to finish the season the right way. And I think that's where our group's at. Obviously, you know, there's areas of our game that we clean up, be better in, and you know, those are the areas we'll get to.
All right, that is Darnell Nurse. The Oilers lose 5-0.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Into the Calgary Flames, we got Robert up next on the open line. We'll get to him in a couple of minutes. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Okay, good to have you tuning in tonight. The final score in Calgary, Flames 5, Oilers nothing. Oilers lose in regulation for just the second time in their last 11. They've both been shutouts. Their record on the season is 25-15-2. Calgary is now 17-21-3. We have Robert on the line. Robert, thanks for staying up and giving us a call. Go ahead.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Start by wishing Rob Brown a happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
And then I have a quick thought on the game, and then a quick thought on the trade deadline. I guess I'll start with the game. I mean, obviously the team was tired. They were fatigued, flat, whatever you want to call them. I think it was a combination of. It was a combination of the tough day they had, having the celebration of life for Colby Cave. There was that, and then I think this being 4 games in 6 nights with travel, I think that affected them too. I mean, so there's that, and then as far as the trade deadline goes, I mean, we all know the way Ken Holland does things. I mean, Ken Holland is he's not one to mortgage the future, so. I mean, as much as we'd like a Taylor Hall or a Nick Foligno, I don't see it happening at the deadline in the off season, maybe, because I think this team is still a year or two away from being a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. So I mean, honestly, I wouldn't, if I were Holland, I wouldn't mortgage our future for a rental who, you know, may or may not stick around. But I guess I'll leave it at that. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you very much, Robert. Well, yeah, we'll see, Rob. I mean, because could be some activity tomorrow, and we're going to have some special coverage starting at 11 on Monday morning and continuing through Bob's Oilers Now time slot. I imagine you and I will be on at some point, Rob, or maybe we won't. Maybe we won't make the cut.
It was, remember when we used to run the show? Now we're just background noise for them, aren't we?
Well,
we used
even.
To be the draft. We used to be the draft day darlings, you and I. Or not, well, the draft day, the trade day darlings. But now we're just well, if they need us type of guys.
We're scrap heap silhouettes now, Rob.
Oh, I like that one. That could be our band name if we ever started a band.
The scrap heap silhouettes. That would indeed be our band. That would be pretty amazing. Okay. Well, yeah, we think we're going to be on, but it looks like the Oilers will be. Well, they will be off tomorrow. They will be off Monday, practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I assume they would practice and fly to Vancouver, and they play Vancouver. And we'll have it for you on Friday, 5:30 for the face-off show, game at 7. Rob, enjoy the final 3 minutes of your birthday. You are a great friend and a great broadcaster, and I hope you had a great day.
I had a fantastic day, and I will see you on Monday.
There we go. That is Rob Brown. Oilers lose 5-0 to the Flames. You can always get more on the team. This game, anything else going on globalnews.ca or 630chat.com. So, yeah, remember that 11 a.m. Monday, sooner if the Oilers do something significant. Stauffer will host that. I'll have inside sports from 6 to 8 in the evening. Big thanks to Troy Bowler. He's our game day engineer at 630 Chet, and our studio producer this evening is Angie Quinnell. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. We've been in the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center. You've been listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Flames dominate the Oilers. They win at 5-0. Have a great night.
630 Chet, Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chet.